Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse number 13, says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." The people of the first century struggled with the same sinful issues and plagues that we do today. We live in a sinful world, a troubled world. And you know, a lot of the issues are in our lives as well. Troubles with burdens and lust and divisions and disharmony and conflicts. It's all the same today as it was then. But did you notice here in this passage that the Apostle Paul identified the key to solving the problem? He identified the key to solving the problem. And I find that back in verse number 14. Verse number 14 again says, "And all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, this wasn't new with the Apostle Paul. He didn't come up with this idea. In fact, Jesus spoke of this years earlier. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, it's pretty interesting when you think about this. God says that all of his law hinges on one thing: to love our neighbor as ourself. We're going to look at that this morning and see how that is described for us here in this passage. But one of the things that I found that I've found very intriguing as I dug into the study of this, and that's why I encourage you, most of you have Bible apps or a computer app where you can look up the original words and look at it. And I found here that the phrase "shalt love" says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," or "thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." "Shalt love" sounds like an imperative command, but it's not. It's actually an indicative statement. Now, if you're not grammatically inclined, what that means is he's saying there that, in other words, if you know from now on you choose to love sacrificially those around you just as you sacrificially love yourself, you will be fulfilling God's entire law. He's making a statement there. See, and from this point on in the future, if you always choose to love sacrificially your neighbor, those around you, just like you love yourself, you will be fulfilling all of the law. It's quite an amazing statement. But you know, it's not easy. We can see a statement like this as, "Love your neighbor as yourself," and say, "Yeah, that's a great idea." And then you need to do it. Well, that's not so easy. It's a lot harder than it sounds. And as we look at this morning, I want us to take a close look at this. We find, first of all, three facts that several facts here that will help us to understand this truth. Number one is this. We naturally love ourselves. We naturally love ourselves. God knew that. You know, it's not a surprise to God. No one had to teach us to love ourselves. You know, the word love there, not surprisingly, is the word agape. It's that sacrificial love. Literally means the sacrificially giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. Sacrificially giving of ourselves to meet someone else's needs, expecting nothing back. That goes against our grain most of the time. Most of the time, we want to do something nice for somebody else because they will return something nice to us. Remember, Jesus illustrated this with the Pharisees. He said, when you invite someone into a party, invite the down-and-outers, the poor people, the beggars that can't put a party on for you. Instead of inviting all your friends, knowing that, oh, well, I'll invite my friend Joe because he's rich and he'll invite me over and we'll have a nice feast at his house next week. No, he says, don't do that. Love is giving of yourself to meet the needs of somebody else without expecting anything in return. And that's what he's encouraging us here. And he says, this is the key to fulfilling the law. This agape is not a warm feeling towards somebody else. It's a choice to meet the needs of somebody else. In fact, we can agape love people that we don't even like. Now, that's an important thing to remember. When God commands us to love one another and He commands us to love our neighbors ourselves, He didn't say you had to like them. Your neighbor might not be a very nice person. Maybe a bad person. But you can still love them. You can still do things kindly toward them, show them kindness, show them tenderness, show them gentleness, show them, treat them in a kind and loving, gentle way, even though they may be not a nice person. God didn't say, when He says, love your neighbors yourself, that didn't mean you had to go up to every neighbor and give them a hug and a kiss and say, I really love you. No, He's not talking about that. He's talking about giving of yourself to meet a need. And so that is true in our lives. You know, maybe over the Christmas holidays, you bumped into relatives or friends that you haven't seen for a while, and maybe they rubbed you the wrong way. That happens. We live in a sinful world. And you think, how can I love them? They're not a nice person. They didn't treat me nice. They were nasty to me. They said something mean to me. How can I love them? God says, we need to choose to love. And He says, if you choose to love, you can fulfill the whole law. It's an important thing for us to ponder. God has placed in us a certain degree of self-love. You know, without this, we would not eat. We wouldn't avoid danger. We wouldn't defend ourselves. We wouldn't even bandage a wound. If you didn't have any self-love at all, say, I don't care about me. Yeah, my hand's bleeding. I don't care. And, you know, I haven't eaten for a week, but I don't care. He's put into us almost like an instinct that we do have a certain amount of self-love. Not just caring for ourselves, but, you know, meeting the needs that we have in ourselves. We also love ourselves enough to bathe and care for our hygiene and brush our teeth. Now, I admit, this kind of self-love isn't always on the top list of boys. All right? Boys have to kind of learn some of that. Did you brush your teeth? I don't know. Yesterday I did. Did you take a bath? I don't need a bath. I had one last week. Yeah, that's the way boys are. Girls aren't so much that way. But, you know, but God puts in all of us a certain amount of self-love. And loving ourselves is not necessarily wrong. As I just said here, it's part of the way God made us. God made us that way, to love ourselves. And Paul uses this as an illustration of love and marriage over in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, there so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We naturally nourish our body. The word nourish there literally means to train or to educate to maturity. Something you do for your children. training and maturing and nurturing them, bringing them into maturity, trying to get them to grow up. And we do that in our own bodies. We take care of this old body. We meet the needs of it. Help us to grow healthy and strong, and we care for our needs. He says, we nourish it and we cherish it. The word cherish there means to keep it warm, to pay close attention to it. Just like a mother does to her baby. You watch even animals. You know, they mother animals can get very fierce when they've got a little young one. I mean, even on the farm, you know, when a cow would have a calf, many times you didn't want to go near that calf or that cow until the calf had grown up a bit, because she was very protective. She'd run you right off the paddock. And that's the way they were. There was a genuineness there, and I love it. And it's the cherishing. God said, we cherish ourselves. We cherish our bodies. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Now, an overemphasis on self-love, we have a problem in our culture today where people have such an emphasis on loving yourself and building up your self-esteem that they go overboard. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying God has placed in us a natural self-love, and that's why Paul was able to use that as an illustration. Love your wife like you love yourself. You know, even in this world where there's that overemphasis on self-love, if people obey that command to love your wife like you over love yourself, there'd be a lot less marriage problems. But God knows that we have that natural self-love. But second fact I see here is that we do not naturally love others. We don't naturally love others. And God knew that. That's why He gives us these instructions. We're not born with a passion to sacrifice for other people. It wasn't part of our nature. You watch children in this. You can see that immediately in a couple little children playing. You know, that's mine! Mine! And they hit the other one for taking their toy. They want all the toys. You can put a whole pile of toys out on the floor, and you got two kids playing. And one of them goes and, you know, the dominant one, he goes and picks out all the toys he wants and pulls them over his way and leaves the junky ones for the other kid. And, you know, selfishness. And that's just the way nature is, our selfish nature. A child who is of his own accord, caring and sharing and gentle and kind, is very rare. You don't see that very often. I'm not saying there'd never be one, but it's not a very often thing. Learning to love is a quality that parents need to develop and to teach and reinforce in their children. If you've been a parent, you know what I'm talking about. You got to teach that to them. And it's something that they need to learn. Look in the Bible and you find a lot of examples of brothers that didn't like each other. I mean, you see right in the opening chapters of the Bible, Cain and Abel. Cain didn't like his brother. Hated him, in fact. So he killed him. You think about Joseph. Joseph had a whole slug of brothers. They didn't like him. Well, they may have had some legitimate reasons for being jealous of him, but it didn't give them the right to try to kill him. They didn't like her brother. You know, there's a lot of examples like that. And life is full of that today. We all see that around us. We don't naturally love each other. Even when we know better, we often find it very difficult to love others. Loving those who treat us well, not all that hard. But loving those that treat you poorly is very difficult. And you know, think in your own life, there's people that treat you very nice. It's easy to love them. And then there may be some people that treat you very poorly. You have to work really hard at loving them. Because it doesn't come naturally. It isn't one of those things we just automatically want to do. And God knew this, and that's why He spelled out the Ten Commandments for us. And now He tells us here that we can fulfill all the law. Now I realize the Ten Commandments are not all the law. Right? But they represent a majority of the law. There are over 600 commandments in the Old Testament, so these 10 are just kind of a major representative of them. But even those 10, the first 4 are directed toward God, loving God. The last 6 are directed toward loving each other. And God says, if you love each other like you love yourself, you will fulfill all of these laws. Just stop and think about those laws. Let me just go back to Exodus chapter 20 and read a little bit of those laws just to refresh our minds of what God actually said. Exodus chapter 20, he says in verse 1, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Verse 3 is the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Folks, none of us have obeyed that law. We've all put other things ahead of God. Maybe a friend, maybe a car, maybe a job, maybe something else. We've all put something ahead of God. He says, don't put anything ahead of me. Verse 2, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them hate me. You know, many religious people have images or a crucifix or things that they pray to. God says, don't do that. Don't do that. It's breaking the law. Verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And every time a person says, oh my, and then uses God's name in there, they're breaking this law. God says, don't do that. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So all these first four are about God. But then from then on, he goes on, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. These six deal with each other. He said, we can fulfill all of these laws by loving each other. Now, how is that? If you love someone, if you truly are giving of yourself to meet their needs, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to harm them morally. You're not going to harm them in any other way. We're not going to do anything to somebody else that we wouldn't want done to ourselves if we truly love them. So God says, you truly love somebody, you're going to fulfill the law. And so that's a great encouragement to us, but God is telling us this because he knows that we struggle. You know, God made it clear that love is the key, and it's the key to a happy marriage. Love is the key to a peaceful home. It's the key to lifelong friendships. It's the key to pleasant relationships. It's the key to a safe society. Love is the key. He says we need to love one another like we love ourselves. And if everybody in our world did that, we'd have a pretty happy world. But it doesn't happen that way. But God's telling us, that's what I expect of you. That's what I want. That's what I want you to do. If you'll do that, you will be able to fulfill the law. Now, the third fact I see here is that to love like this, we need God's help. We really need God's help. Because to consistently love like that, like I said a moment ago, it's not that hard to love someone that really loves you. I mean, if you've got a family member that really, truly loves you, it's not hard to love them. But you've got a family member that's always giving you a hard time, it takes extra work to love them. It really does. It's true with our neighbor, it's true with the person at work, it's true with the person at school, it's true with, you know, everybody would know it's not hard to love lovable people, but it's very hard to love the unlovely. And yet God is challenging us here and he's letting us know that's what he wants us to do, so we need God's help. We really do need God's help. Our hearts must be transformed by God's salvation before we can love like God wants us to love. That's the bottom line. You know, unbelievers can love like this to a limited degree. If this was not possible, the wicked world we live in would be a far more wicked world. I know unbelievers that are very nice people. Melody and I have been blessed. We've got some great neighbors. Our neighbors are nice people. All the ones right around us, they're very nice people. They're not believers. They don't want to know the Lord. But they're nice. They're kind. They're helpful. If you needed something, go over and ask them. Sure, if I got it, I'll help you. They're nice people. Now, they're able to do that to a degree, but in order for us to love like this in situations where it's not easy, we need God's help. If we're going to love somebody that really treats us nasty, we need God's help. We don't have the ability to do that consistently without God's help. We need to be transformed by salvation. You know, we're sinful people. Jeremiah made this very clear to us. Jeremiah 17:9, he says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The reason we struggle is because deep down inside, we're sinners. I'm a sinner. You know, this morning, I was sharing with Marlise in the car that today, I guess, I was reading in the Philippians. And the Apostle Paul said, he had a list of things. He said, "I want you to do these things." See if I can find it here, and I'll just read it to you. He says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." I thought, wow, what a statement. Could I say that? Could I stand up before you as a congregation and say, the things that you've heard me say, the things I've taught you, the things that you've learned, and the way that you see me live, live like me and you'll please God? I wish I could say that, but I know me too well. I know that I struggle. Sometimes I have a bad attitude. Or sometimes I'll have wrong thoughts or wrong. I'll come up with a cross word. And for me to stand up before you and say, live like me and you'll live like God wants you to live. Paul was an amazing man. And he wasn't lying. The Spirit of God inspired him to say that. So Paul had God's amazing ability on his life. But we struggle with that. How would you like it if God put you as the example for everybody else to watch to see how a Christian ought to live? That's what Paul was doing. And we ought to be able to do that, but it's not easy. It's a challenge. We need God's help. We really, really do. If there's someone whom we struggle to love, we owe it to ourselves to examine our salvation. Paul said in the Scriptures over and again, you know, that if Christ be in us, we can do these things that are impossible to do otherwise. But without the Lord, if you say, I can't and I won't and I don't want to love that person, then God's saying, you know, something's wrong down inside. You need to look down inside and ask yourself, do I truly know Christ? That's a very important question for us to ask. And we shouldn't be afraid to ask that question or too proud to ask that question because our eternity hangs on that. I mean, can you imagine going through your whole life thinking all is well between you and God, but God saying everything's not well? And on Judgment Day, you stand before God expecting God to say, come on in. And God says, I don't know you. Depart from me. That would be tragic. Nothing worse than that. And so, if deep down in your heart you say, I just can't love, I don't want to love, I can't stand that person, and I'll never like that person, period. No matter what they've done, God says we can choose to love if we want to with God's help. But if we choose not to love, God says something's wrong inside. So we need to make sure that there's genuine relationship with Christ in our heart. We need God's indwelling, daily cleansing, and His grace to love like God wants us to love. Once we become a child of God, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of us. And if we spend the time in the Bible cultivating that flourishing relationship with God, as he talked about here in Galatians 5, he uses a term here for that flourishing relationship. He says walking in the Spirit. Mentions it in verse 16, 17, 25. He says, if we walk in the Spirit, there's going to be a difference. Verse number 22, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit, He's going to bear fruit in our life. And there's going to be evidence in our lives that we are staying close to God. And God says, if we do that, we can have that love in our heart toward others that we need. He offers daily cleansing for our sins. I'm sure glad for that as well. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So every time we do muck up and fail and sin and disobey God and we don't love like we should, we can come to God and say, God, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? And He says He will. And he can, justly, because Christ died on the cross to pay that debt for us. It's already paid for. We just need to claim it. We need that help that God offers us. God will give us grace, that divine enabling that we need. But we need to turn to Him and seek it. But I find a final fact here, and that is that Christians can and ought to choose to love others as themselves. We naturally love ourselves, we don't naturally love others, and we need God's help to love others like we should. But then lastly, Christians can and ought to choose to love others as themselves. You know, in this life, you and I will never love perfectly. I love my wife dearly. Do I love her perfectly? No. I fail her time and time again. Get a bit cross with her, not treat her as nicely as I should. But I do love her. But we don't love perfectly. One day when we get to be with the Lord in heaven, we'll be able to have a right attitude about everything. But until then, we still have our sin nature that's slowing us down. And if we could love perfectly, we would fulfill all of God's law and we wouldn't need Christ's salvation. You know, the law in the Old Testament, even the Ten Commandments, if someone could keep all ten of those commandments from birth to death perfectly without breaking them, he wouldn't need God's salvation. But none of us can. And we need God's salvation. And so we'll never be able to perfectly do that in this life, but we ought to strive to that end. But we ask ourselves then, well, what's the hope? Do we have any hope? Well, yeah, God says we can choose. We have a choice. We can choose to be what God wants us to be. And we can choose to love others as we love ourselves. God wants us to love others, even those that irritate us, those that persecute us, those that hate us, those that curse us, those that defy us, those who will not submit to us. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. And remember, love isn't necessarily hugging and kissing. Love is giving of ourselves to meet their needs, expecting nothing in return. That's biblical love. And God says we can do that with His help. If there's a person with whom you find it difficult or nearly impossible to love, what can you do? Let me give you some suggestions. Number one, start praying for them. Start praying for them. Really pray for them that God would help them. Not praying against them. I mean, that's easy to do. God, my neighbor is mean to me, and I pray you bring down judgment, burn his house down, or blow up his car. Or something. No, not that. Praying for them. Start praying for them and pray, Lord, would you help them to be more kind? Help them to be more tender. Help them to be more forgiving. Help them, Lord, to be the kind of person that it's easier to get along with. And Lord, provide for them and meet their needs. Pray for them. We need to also forgive them. That person that is hard to get along with or is not nice, we need to forgive them. Ephesians 4:32, what's it say? It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. What's the next word? Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Did we deserve God's forgiveness? Absolutely not. I've never done one thing to earn God's forgiveness, and neither of you. But God forgave us. He washed us clean. He says, if you'll admit your sin, I'll forgive you. And God wants us to be forgiving to others that hurt us. We need to ask God to give us a biblical love for that person. Pray for them, forgive them. Ask God to give us a love for them that is right and genuine and biblical. And when negative thoughts about that person come to mind, we need to choose to think of that person as God thinks of them. When God looks at that person that you have a hard time loving, what does God think? Now, God knows all the facts. He knows that they may be mean and ornery and not nice and unkind. But God loves them. John 3:16, still in the book. God so loved the world, including the mean person that it's hard to love. And because of that, we need to think like God thinks. Instead of thinking mean and hateful and bitter thoughts toward that person, we need to think, God, help me to think of them like you think of them. Help me to love them like you love them. Help me to treat them like you would treat them. And God can help us. We'll give it to God. We can choose to love people whom we do not like. Remember, giving love is meeting needs. It's not about being sweet and tender. It's about meeting needs. With God's help, we can show agape love to others. So, as we wrap this up this morning, this as the year comes to an end in just a couple of days, one of the best things we can do is to examine our hearts and ask ourselves, is there anyone in this world that I don't love like I should? And what can I do? What needs to be done to be able to help me to love that person like I should? Now, you may not be able to change that person. That person may be ornery and mean and just not the kind of person that you really like, but you can love them. You need to love them. You need to ask God, God, help me to love that person like you love that person. God has convicted your heart of not loving someone, we need to just ask God to do a work in our hearts today. Say, Lord, help me to start showing love to that person. To treat them as God would want us to be treat them. And with God's help, we can do it. It may be difficult. Some people are very hard to love. But God said, all the law is fulfilled in this one word. Even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is what I want you to do. This is the way I want you to live. I want you to love your neighbor like you love yourself. And every one of us here this morning loves ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We meet our own needs. And in a lot of ways, we're like little big children that say, mine, and do it my way. And we love ourselves. That's us. And God says, I want you to love others like you love yourself. And if you just can't, as I mentioned a few moments ago, if you find in your heart, I just cannot do that. I don't want to do that. I will not do that. Then you need to look deep down inside and ask yourself, do I really know Jesus? Because he said I could. If I know him as my Savior, I'll be able to do this. And if you say, no, I cannot, then you need to take a serious look and ask yourself, am I really a child of God? Very important.